بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القران المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد اعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الله يأمر بالعدل والاحسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين honorable ulama respected huffaz elders and brothers mothers and sisters assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh first and foremost we commence with the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah who is mine and your soul's sustainer cherisher and nourisher May Allah's choicest salutations continue to descend and flow upon our noble master and leader, Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders and friends, as our country celebrated Human Rights Day on the 21st of March, that happened to be on Monday, it is an opportunity for us to reflect on the Islamic manifesto in this regard. Though we do not restrict rights to a specific day or a specific date, every day in the life of a believer entails the discharging of rights. Nevertheless, we take the opportunity to try and rewind or to try and remind ourselves of what is the Islamic manifesto in this regard. As Muslims, we ask ourselves, what are our core values? What are the overarching principles and the values of our faith? What is the manifesto of Muslims at both an individual and collective level? Now the verse of the Quran Kareem, which I had recited in my introduction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala best encapsulates the Islamic manifesto in this verse. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ Allah enjoins upon you justice. وَالْإِحْسَانِ Allah enjoins upon you ihsan. وَإِتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى And Allah enjoins upon you kindness towards relatives. Then Allah further mentions in this verse, وَيَنْهَا عَنِ الْفَحْشَى That Allah forbids you from all that which is shameful. وَالْمُنْكَرَ Allah forbids you from all that which is vile. وَيَنْهَا عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرَ And Allah forbids you from all that which is rebellious. Now this verse, respected elders and friends, mirrors the political, the social, and the economic principles of Islam. And it is this verse, in Allah ya Amr, it is this verse that is read perhaps by millions of imams. In the second khutbah every Friday, millions of imams recite this verse in the concluding verse, in the concluding khutbah of the second khutbah. So there must be something from the time of Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu rahmatullah alayhi, from that time up to today, every imam in his second khutbah recites this verse. So it is an ideal opportunity for us perhaps to understand what is the underlying meaning of this verse. Respected elders and friends, it contains three commands. Allah mentions three commands in this verse and together with that three prohibitions. And with amazing brevity, Allah sums up the most important Islamic values and principles regarding human coexistence and regarding human interaction. Friends, every command, the commentators of the Quran Kareem have went to this extent to mention that every command in our deen or every prohibition of the Quran would perhaps fall under one of these six categories. So with amazing brevity, Allah speaks of three commands and Allah speaks of three prohibitions. First and foremost, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Allah says that Allah has enjoined upon you justice. Now justice essentially would refer to the relationship of men with fellow men, either on an individual level or on a collective level. Now a relationship that is premised on the fair discharge of justice will eventually see the stability of a social life, of an economical life, as well as a political life. Justice, we need to understand, respected elders and brothers, mothers and sisters, is the first requirement to peace. Today the entire world is looking for peace, but they fail to forget that the most important ingredient to peace is justice. Now we need to understand that peace is not the absence of war, but rather the presence of justice. Remember this. Peace is not the absence of war, but rather the presence of justice. Friends, therefore if you can work towards justice, then you have achieved peace. Ali radiallahu anhu, when he became the fourth Khalifa of Islam, he advised his administrators. In his autobiography it is mentioned that he advised his administrators, and from amongst the advices that he gave, I will just relate to you a few because of time constraints. But if you will see the underlying point in all of these, you will come to the conclusion that every one of these commands that he gave to his administrators was with regard to justice. The first and foremost he mentions, he says, always display love and kindness. Do not think your success would lie in scolding and treating others harshly. Secondly, he mentions, he says, treat everyone fairly. Thirdly, he goes on to say, do not take sides over certain people. Such behavior will lead to oppression. Such behavior will lead to despotism. He goes on to say, in choosing your officials, in choosing your ministers of the country, be careful not to include those who have committed crimes against humanity. Be careful not to include those who have committed crimes against the state and who are responsible for the oppression of the innocent. He goes on to say, friends, he says, choose honest, trustworthy and kind individuals and prefer those who do not seek their own interests. Friends, he goes on to say, he says, that supervise your officials and make sure that you hire those who are sincere in whatever they are doing. He goes on to say that earn the trust of people and seek their well-being, and do not let your actions leave a person feeling obligated. Now if we look at all these commands that he gave and many others that he spoke to on his first lecture that he gave to his administrators, was the underlying ingredient was be just. And today me and you know that that is what the world is crying for. That is what the world is yearning for. Nevertheless, the second point that Allah mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Allah speaks of ihsan. Now what is ihsan? Ihsan has a dual meaning. The first is, it entails a commitment. It entails a commitment to do something perfectly. To excel, to be proficient, and to give up your best. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, verily Allah loves that when any one of you does a job, he should perfect it. What a simple teaching, friends. But really it sends such a strong message across, first and foremost to me and to everyone else, that how much Allah loves that when we take on something, we take on and we do it with perfection. And we try to excel in whatever we are trying to do. And when we study Islamic history, we will see that how the Muslims, when they've taken on the simple teaching of our Nabi, to what heights Allah had taken them. Nevertheless, no people, no individual, no community can prosper if people are not motivated to excel in what they do. That is the first meaning. Ihsan also means benevolence. It can also mean kindness, generosity and compassion. It means doing not only that which is mandatory and obligatory, but rather going the extra mile, as we say. Going the extra mile. Now a striking example that the Quran Kareem uses in describing this. We know that at the time of divorce, may Allah save each and every one of us from this. We know generally it is a period that is characterized by deceit, by lies, by spite, by hatred, by animosity. So all the evils generally would come out during this period because it is a very difficult period indeed. Nevertheless, Allah at this juncture mentions the quality of ihsan. Allah says, "At-talaqu marratan, fa imsakum bima'rufin aw tasrihum biihsan." Allah says that a divorce is permissible twice. After that, the parties should either hold together on equitable terms or separate with ihsan, separate with kindness, separate with compassion, separate with benevolence. So even at the most difficult juncture in a person's life, if it ever has to happen, the quality of ihsan has to play its part. Respected elders and friends, individuals, including myself, are encouraged to display compassion even at the time of the most personal circumstances of strife and conflict. Justice protects society from the violation of rights, while compassion infuses respect, harmony and warmth. The third quality that Allah speaks of is wa'ita'i dhil qurba. Allah says, the third command after justice and ihsan is the good treatment towards one's relatives. Good treatment would include sharing in their happiness, sharing in their sorrows and their griefs, helping them when the need for help is there, supporting them when they need support. And the first duty, I have mentioned this in the past and I mention again, the first duty of the well-to-do members of the family is to fulfill the needs of their own near and dear relatives. It is so unfortunate sometimes, respected elders and friends, that we give to certain organizations and we give huge numbers, but there are people in our family who are suffering. So we need to check that there are people in our family who need support, whether it's moral support or whether it's financial support. They have more rights than what others have over them. So a strong and a healthy family, a strong and a healthy family bond would lead to a strong and a stable community. A strong family bond develops a sense of belonging, which in turn develops self-esteem and develops respect. So these three commands that Allah speaks of, justice, kindness and the family unit, are three pillars that contribute to the stability, to the unity and to the harmony of society. Now in contrast to this, Allah speaks of three prohibitions, three vices that can potentially destabilize society, that can potentially lead to disunity, suspicion and immorality. What are those three? First and foremost, Allah speaks of obscenity. Allah speaks of obscenity. What does obscenity mean? Me and you know that the challenge of society today, especially in today's times, is to create such a social environment where our members are protected from promiscuity. Everywhere you go, wherever you go, you are bombarded with promiscuity. Now, respected elders and friends, it includes any acts of immoral, obscene or vulgar, anything that has the potential to arouse lust, anything that has the potential to arouse our passions and desires. Obscenity is promiscuous conduct that erodes the natural protective shield of haya and modesty. Obscenity in the name of freedom is the devil's way of enslaving his disciples. obscenity in the name of freedom is Shaitan's way of enslaving his disciples. The next vice that Allah speaks of is, the first one was obscenity with regard to indecency. The next one that Allah speaks of is with vice relating to conduct that is naturally repugnant to human nature and which stands against the recognized standards of good taste. If people permit vice to flourish, you see, in the first case Allah speaks that stay away from vice. The second one Allah brings mine and your attention to, that if people allow vice to flourish, if people allow obscenity to flourish, then that would eventually cause the ruin of the whole society. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, who is the mother of the believers, she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day, she said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, tell me, if they are pious amongst us, if they are pious amongst us, would we still be destroyed?" The Nabi of Allah mentioned, yes. The Nabi of Allah mentioned, yes, but of course you would be resurrected according to your actions. You would be resurrected according to your actions. But when the punishment of Allah comes, respected elders and friends, if we do not take the prohibition of vice very seriously, then what might happen, may Allah save us, Allah forbid, that if the punishment of Allah comes, then He takes everybody with Him. And a beautiful example my Nabi has given, the example of a ship. I don't know why I seem to be liking ships these days. Like, do I get a yacht one day? Nevertheless, why the example of a ship? There are people on the upper deck and there are people on the lower deck. So it is obvious that those who are on the lower deck, if they need water, they need to cross the path of those who are on the upper deck. So every time they need water, they need to go upstairs, they need to go to the upper deck. And this at times causes inconvenience to the people on top. It causes difficulty to them because these people are coming on top, taking the water back downstairs. So the guys on the lower side say, you know what, let's make things easy for us. We'll just plug a hole in the ship at the bottom. We make a hole at the bottom, so we don't have to inconvenience those on the upper deck. Now me and you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. If you make a hole at the bottom, what would cause that? What would happen? The water would enter the ship, and only the people on the lower deck would sink. No? The entire ship sinks. Now similarly, respected elders and friends, similarly, if the people on the above protect the people from such a stupid action, then they all get saved. But if they allow that action to happen, then what happens? The entire ship goes. Likewise, friends, if we allow obscenity to flourish in society, and this is a lesson for me, that if we allow obscenity, vice, promiscuity to flourish in our homes, to flourish in our societies, Allah forbid, that wave will take us also with it. Respected elders and friends, the third that Allah speaks of is rebellion. This includes aggression, it includes oppression, it includes the violation of the rights of others, it includes any act that would lead to corruption, to fear, to violence, to murder, to crime, etc. Now if we study the Muslim manifesto in the light of these three prohibitions and three commands, we will come to the conclusion that the Muslim manifesto is underpinned by justice, kindness, and a harmonious relationship with members of the family. Together with that, the Islamic manifesto calls for the eradication of promiscuity, vice, and incitement of fear and hostility. Friends, it is our duty that when we see something wrong, we need to stop it. In fact, the primary reason why the Bani Israel were destroyed was simply for this. historians write that they were pious amongst them. They were good people amongst them. But when they seen a vice taking place, they did not stop it. They did not prohibit it. They did not stop it. Hence, when the punishment of Allah came, Allah took all of them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me and you the good fortune of becoming the torch bearers of justice and compassion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shield and protect our communities from vulgarity, from indecency, from promiscuity, and from hostility. And it is in this regard, respected elders and friends, that before I conclude, I make a humble appeal. That we know today see the start of the first term vacation for our learners. Today is the start for the first term holidays for our learners. It is generally a time that is characterized by laxity, a time that is characterized where we tend to be lax with our children. A humble appeal I make to you is that just be vigilant. Just make sure that you know where your kids are going. You know what they're up to. You know with who they're going. You know why they are going to the various places. And most important of all, respected elders and friends, sit down with your children. And make them understand that there are certain aspects of deen that there is no compromise. Like they have to go to school at 7:30, we don't compromise on that. In the like manner, in our deen, there are certain things we can't compromise on. There are things that are mandatory, that are obligatory, that Allah has made upon us. Amongst them is salah. Amongst them is salah. Make our children understand that, you know, from this age, my child, you are so fortunate. Unlike myself, where I did perhaps not have the opportunity, in the time of my ignorance, I might have left out so many salah when I was young. Allah has given you the opportunity whereby you can start your slate clean. Sit with them, make them understand, educate them, teach them to say this, there is no compromise on. You can play whole day, you can do what you need to do, but your salah, your Quran reading. Friends, we have a battle when our children come back to madrasa. It takes a week or two for us to bring them back to the standard because 2 weeks go in revision. All the 10 weeks of work that we had done in the first term goes down. So now you need to bring that child up again. Explain to the child that, oh my child, you start your morning with 10 minutes of Quran Kareem. And that, inshallah, would become a habit for the rest of his life. And until he leaves this world, inshallah, that would become a means of thawab jariyah for you. So we need to educate them. Be careful where they are going, with who they are going, why they are going. And most important of all, let it not be that it's a period of laxity, a period where we transgress the limits in the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah guide me and all of us.